This is Dialogue, a podcast series from American Mosaic. Just driving around the country, talking to people about roots, family, community, jobs, kids, whatever is on their mind today. I'm in Fredericksburg, Texas, and it's about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm looking for a coffee shop. And so I find one, I go in, and sitting at a table, I see Bailey with a laptop open, and on the back of the laptop, she's got a little bit of a sign there. It says, are you interested in real estate? And then it says, I'm a realtor. And then down below it says, let's talk. So I went over and I said, hey, let's talk. What are you doing? And I had an awesome conversation with Bailey, who's 24. And has started her own real estate business, and she's doing very well. And it's an interesting story, and she's made a decision, like actually a lot of millennials that I've run into around the country, that have made decisions about not working for somebody. They're going to do their own thing. And it's a variety of things, but they're not going to be influenced by outside forces, parents, community, they all have kind of a story about perhaps something that's happened where they've seen something with their parents, and they realize that there really isn't that much security if you're necessarily working for someone. And there's a lot of flexibility and freedom when you're doing your own thing. So what follows is a conversation with Bailey in Fredericksburg, Texas.
I am Bailey Whitworth, 24, here in Fredericksburg, Texas, originally from Katy, the Houston area, and I am part of the American Mosaic.
That's the name of my project. That's going to be the name of the documentary.
American Mosaic.
Okay. Because it is a mosaic. I'm all walks of life.
That's so cool.
All walks of life. Everybody.
Good. You're going to get it all.
The whole thing.
Diversity. That's cool.
Diversity. Yeah. Because that's what we are as a country.
Yeah.
Give me a little background. Talk to me about where you're from, how you got here, where you were born, raised, what brought you to here. Give me a little background.
Okay, so I was born in Humble, Texas, and that's kind of near Houston. My family moved to Katy, a little outside of Houston, kind of grew up there. In about 06, my parents were tired of the traffic, and they wanted a slower paced lifestyle, so we moved to Fredericksburg, which is a much smaller town. It's about 10,000 people, in the city at least. And lived here for a couple years. That was an experience for sure, at least me being the age I was at, because I was in a bigger city, and so moving here to a smaller town, it's just so different. Well, at least in school, so I was in middle school when I moved here, and when you're the new kid in a small town, everyone knows you, you know, and very cliquish, you know? I mean, that's just kind of how it is, I guess, at that age. So it was a little difficult. I'm not traumatized or anything, but very different. But we lived here for a couple years and moved back for my first 2 years of high school. So back to Katy. Ton of fun. I met a new person every day. So that was a 6A high school. And then we ended up moving back here after 2 years. So I finished high school here in Fredericksburg. At the time in school, I didn't really like it. There's not really much to do, or I didn't think there was. And it was just kind of boring, just small town. But now that I'm 24, I love it. It's just a certain type of lifestyle. It's just easygoing, just slow-paced, and I don't know. No one really has a care in the world. They're just on their own time. So it's fun. It's really nice. And the community is really awesome. I mean, everyone really sticks together. If anything tragic happens here, we all just kind of come together, and it's pretty cool. It is really cool.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, I'm always interested in what people think today of ideals and things about being an American and stuff. And, like the American dream. Does the American dream exist today, or is it different?
So me being 24, I have really nothing to compare it to. But I will say, I think the possibilities are endless, for sure. In my experience, I mean, I went to college 4 years, and I didn't finish. I have a semester left because I couldn't afford it anymore. So, and I didn't want to pull out any loans. So I came back home, lived with my parents, and, you know, I mean, throughout my, I guess, teens up until this age, I've been working for, you know, other people. So I've always had a boss. I've always been working for someone else. And my last job that I had before I started my career, I got fired. So at that point, I just realized, you know, I don't ever want to work for anybody ever again. And I'm going to start my own thing, and I'm going to do what I want to do. And so it's definitely there, the possibilities, but it's a lot of work. A lot of work. And I think that some people do struggle my age with the amount of work that you have to put into something that is valuable and that's really going to help long term. I think just because everything comes to us so quickly. I mean, we grew up with technology, and that's all we've known. I mean, if we don't have an answer to something, you just Google it, and it's there. And so I get the frustration as far as having to work really hard for something and having the patience to do so. You know, even if you don't see results immediately, I can see the frustration in that, but that's just what you have to do. I mean, that hasn't changed, you know. The harder you work, you know, the more you can get, so.
Tell me a little bit about, because you were talking about college and, you know, that it was expensive, you know,
yeah.
You said you couldn't afford it. Because I know that's an issue of this whole subsidy loans and debt that's being incurred. So many students are going out of college and they owe $100,000 or something that's going to take them
a lifetime. I think it's crazy, and I think it's sad that you go to college, you have this awesome degree, whatever it may be, but yeah, and it's kind of like a cloud over your head. It's there for years and years and years. I mean, I was taught to never be in debt. Try at least as hard as you can to stay out of debt. So I was fortunate enough to get scholarships and grants to be able to pay for most all of my school until the last semester. I had my parents help. My parents helped me. But it got to the point where it was just too much. Not only the tuition, but living expenses. I mean, my rent was like $800 a month, plus utilities, gas, you know, food, all of that. So it adds up. So I chose not to pull out any loans, but that was because I had my parents' advice. And other people I've talked to have told me, oh my gosh, like loans, it's not even a big deal. You know, pull out a loan, it's fine. Like, it's normal, you know, to have loans. And so I get both sides of the spectrum. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's sad that you know, these kids have hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans. I mean, that's insane to me. $5,000, I'm in debt, and I think that's, like, crazy, so.
We're in Texas, and we just had an election that was a big deal all over the country.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about where we are as a country today, about thoughts about issues, democracy, things that people talk about, you know, and how many presidents have you actually known?
That's a good question. The first election I voted was Trump, when he became president. That was my first big vote. To me, I think it's hard to be able to have your own opinion on things because of the resources that we have. I feel like a lot of it's very biased, and so it's hard for us to form our own opinions, like true opinions, because you can read something and it be worded a certain way to make you think, oh, okay, you know, that makes sense, or yeah, I stand for that, but really, it's hard to know, you know, the context, I guess, and I don't know. For me, that's at least what I struggle with. It's hard for me to have my own opinion.
That's a good point. Where do you get your news? Where do you get your information?
A lot of it is peers and family. I mean, I think it's interesting to hear all sides of, you know, all different perspectives, I guess you would say, from people. And so I'm always open to hearing other people, and so I do. I listen, and I, you know, I want to know, like, what do you believe in? What are your thoughts? Why? But at the same time, it's dependent upon what they're reading or who they've heard certain things from. So, I mean, I guess it could get a little overwhelming. I mean, it can, for sure, but...
Yeah. The interesting thing is, you were talking, I think you said the technology and where we are is because we, it seems like we get information in just little sound bites.
Right.
We don't get in-depth.
Right.
And we don't get, perhaps, a diversity. But on the other hand, what do you think about the idea of calling the media back and calling anybody and everybody, well, that's fake news, and that's fake news, and kind of putting down the media, sort of freedom of speech is not a bad thing.
No.
What do you think about freedom of speech?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that there are always... there should be a limit, or, you know, to an extent, I think, as far as freedom of speech. Because, yeah, I mean, I think we should all voice our opinions and be able to feel okay with doing so. But I think it's circumstantial as well, you know? I mean, what are you speaking on, and how far are you going to take it? So, but that's just up to who you are as a person, and... I think that if, you know, deep down, you know, okay, well, that probably wasn't right to say, you know, I think that obviously it'd be ideal if people had a limit, or, you know, they kind of had more of a conscience than others to know the time and place and how far you're going to take it. So, I mean, I think it just comes down to being a good person. I mean, yeah, have your own opinions and thoughts, but... also, do right by others. So, and that's hard, not hard to come by, but there's a lot of people that just don't care. They don't care at all. They're selfish. And I think that's kind of the world that we live in. It's all about us. And that's what they portray, too. I mean, society, I guess, portrays, look out for yourself, number one. You know, love yourself. Which is great. I think that is great. You should love yourself. But, you know, it's almost like people take it like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to be selfish. I'm going to do my thing and screw everyone else, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of that today, for sure. And yeah, and I think, to me, that's sort of this polarization, this us against them. Us against
yeah.
them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that happens around here? It happened where you've grown up and Texas, do you find a lot of that us against them stuff?
Definitely, yes. Even in the business that I'm in, it's a lot of that. A lot. Just feud and bad blood. To me, I think no reason. There's no reason for that. Unless someone just does you wrong and then you stand up for yourself or you stand up for something. But just in general, yeah, there's a lot of us against them. And
do you see a way out of this, or is this just going to be is this just the future?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't know if there's a way out. I think that people will continue to be people. They'll continue to be selfish, and I don't know if you can really necessarily teach someone not to be selfish. I think if they had an open mind and they were able to listen to others and, you know, I mean, that would help. But again, I think it comes down to who you are. If that's the type of person you are, then how does that change? I don't know. I think start small, for sure. Start small and go from there.
Tell me about your work here. How did you end up getting into real estate? How did you start the real estate thing?
So I went to school in Lubbock, Texas Tech, and came back home because I was out of money. And I started working, and I've had jobs since my first job. I was 14 years old at a little boutique here on Main Street in Fredericksburg. So I've always, you know, had a boss, basically. And last job I had that I was working for someone, I was there for 6 months, and it's a long story. I won't get into it, but basically, just out of nowhere, I was fired. So I was like, you know what? This sucks. I'm never working for anyone ever again. So at that point, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. My passion is addiction recovery, and I want to get, you know, into that a little bit later on. But yeah, at the time, I didn't know what I really wanted to do. And of course, my parents, my mom especially, she's all for entrepreneurship and being your own boss. The harder you work, the more successful you can be. You know, it's all up to you. You have control. And so she kind of mentioned, you know, real estate. Like, why don't you get your real estate license? She's like, no one can take that away from you. You'll at least have it as backup. It'll be right in your back pocket. And you know, honestly, I was just like, all right, I mean, why not? So, I took my classes, took my test, and had my license within, I think, 3 months, 3 or 4 months, and just kind of hit the ground running. And so, yeah, it's a lot of work, and it's very, I would say it's a cutthroat business, for sure. So that's something that I've never really experienced before. And I don't know, it's kind of crazy, but it's fun. I love it. I love it so much. And I know that I can work really, really hard and succeed in a way that I want to. Or, you know, if I don't, then...
Is it treating you well? Or are you making money?
I am making money. Yeah, I am. So I've been in it about 5 months. And it's kind of crazy. It's been a lot of hard work, but a little bit of luck too. I've sold a few homes. I've helped a few buyers, had a couple closings. So it's going really well, but It's a lot of time and a lot of investment. So right now I'm making the money, but I'm putting it back into my business. So that's kind of.
This passion you have, addiction recovery. Talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah, no, it is. I'm a really big believer in addiction being a disease. And I say that from personal experience. I have an older brother who, he's a year older than me. And he has suffered from addiction for 6 years now. And me and my family have never experienced that in our lives. And so when it started to come up, we didn't really know how to handle it. We really didn't even know what addiction was. And it took us a couple years to realize, you know, this is a problem. You know, it's not just him rebelling or him, you know, bored with his life. It was a disease that he had. He couldn't get away from it. And it changed him as a person, and it changed our family. And I don't know, I think then that's when I knew I wanted to help addicts and their journey in a recovery and their journey to a sober life. And then I also wanted to help families who went through the same thing that my family is going through, you know, to help them figure out how to deal with it. It's a gray line between helping them out, trying to help them, and enabling. And so, you know, that comes up, and your family, all that you have different mindsets and ways that you think would be best to go about it. And so that kind of causes, you know, just tension and disagreement within the family. So it can really destroy, I mean, families for sure. I mean, it does. I think it's a really big deal. It's a big thing.
You know, I've talked to people about that traveling around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of it is, you know, it's not just kind of how where to start with the opioid thing.
Yep.
Was that the beginning of that or
You know, I think so. And that's where a lot of people start, is with, opioids. And the thing is that it's a mindset thing. Like, oh, it's fine because they're legal, it's prescribed, you know, but it leads into, I mean, it more and more. I mean, you know, once you get bored with that drug, you go to something crazier or something that makes you feel better, and it's just a cycle. And yeah, I think that's a really big problem with prescription drugs, for sure.
Is there a lot of, you know, okay, so, you know, I think the answer is probably yes. I guess there's a lot of drugs available, of course, drugs are available almost mm-hmm. any city
yeah.
in this country today. You can go online and buy them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they are readily available. I mean, even in this small town, it was shocking to me how many people are getting into meth. I mean, meth is like the drug here, and it blew my mind when I found out. I mean, you know, you're younger and naive, and you don't think about that stuff until it starts affecting your life, and then you realize, oh my gosh, like, yeah, it's everywhere. Yep. Yeah, that was something I experienced too. With my brother. And I don't know the full story or anything like that, but he's been in and out of jail for years, and you know, he's been to different facilities, and at one point he was in there and, you know, didn't have any drugs, he was sobering up, but he told me a story about how the cops in there will bring drugs in there for them and just bring them in. It's really sad. It's very sad. And that's like another thing, the amount of people that are in prison and drugs or in jail for drug charges, it should tell, you know, it should tell you something about that. I mean, get them help. Don't just send them, you know, send them to prison. And yeah, there are certain circumstances, but.
It makes me think I want to take this back around to politics.
Yeah.
Because we talk about things, we talk about the social issues.
I think so. I mean, based on at least what I've heard. I mean, last night I was watching, you know, the news, the election, and yeah, they were saying this election is huge, and they're finding that more and more young people, millennials, are voting. I mean, this is a huge turnout for voters who are, you know, millennials in my age. I don't know if they're voting because, you know, they've educated themselves, or if they're just voting based on what they hear or what they want to see done. I know a lot of people just want life to be perfect and everything is, you know, just love one another, and yeah, that's awesome, that's great, but it's not as realistic. But I mean, I think it's a starting point, at least for voting. I mean, at least we're trying to get involved. So, and then it leads to more questions that we're gonna have, you know, and that's gonna help us, you know, dive more deeper, you know, deeper into researching and really, you know, wanting to educate before we just make a decision like that. And I know that in the future, as we grow, we're gonna understand how important it is to vote, and not just to vote just to be voting, but educating ourselves. No, it's hard to keep up. I think things are just moving so fast and they're changing so quickly. I can imagine that it'd be hard to keep up with it all.
What do you think about social media, Facebook in particular? Facebook is, you know, I've asked people, it's starting in a year and a half, but obviously the conversation about Facebook today is way different than it was two years ago.
I walked out there to pick up the truck, and I like literally like,
what's your view of Facebook?
And then I hear,
I think it's a bad thing. I think it can turn into a bad thing. At least for me, I used to use it just when I was bored. Same with Instagram. Instagram and Facebook is what I use. And yeah, I used to waste time with it, you know, and I don't think that's a really good thing. I mean, maybe every once in a while, but if you're spending them like a lot of your time throughout your day on social media just because you're bored, I mean, I think your time can be better spent doing something else. I think it's really great for business purposes, especially, you know, when you're starting up your own thing. I mean, that's what I'm using it for now. So I think it helps a lot. I mean, I've had a lot of business from my social media. I mean, it's crazy. It blew my mind.
I would agree. I think that's, I think on a personal level, I found some people have sort of said, well, that's kind of where I get my information or my news. And that's all, that's like talking to an echo chamber.
Oh, gosh.
It's all curated just for stuff that you like.
Oh, yes, exactly. Because the system knows what you search, you know? I mean, they know. So, yeah, they're going to feed you that information. I don't use Facebook or Instagram for my news. No. But yeah, some people do. Some people do. To each their own.
During the Great Recession, 07, 08, did your parents get hit? Did they have to struggle a little bit?
Yeah. Yes, they did. And I was in middle school at the time. But yeah, my mom actually had started her own mortgage company, my mom and my grandma, here in Fredericksburg. And it's expensive here to live, and it's harder to find a job here. A lot of the businesses here are family-run businesses that have been, you know, passed down generation to generation. So, they had to shut down their mortgage business, and we actually had, that's why we moved back to Katy at that time, because my dad had lost his job, my mom had to, you know, shut her company down, and we moved back to get on our feet. I mean, it was more affordable, and my dad had a secure job there in Houston that he'd been with for 20 years, so... we had to move there and get back on our feet. So that's what I remember. But yeah, it definitely affected them for sure.
Affected everybody. A lot of people. Way more than I think we really fully understand as a country, but it was a big people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
When you're too young to really remember anything like 9/11.
The only thing I remember from that is the morning it happened. I was in second grade at the time. The morning it happened, I just remember seeing it on the news, just on the TV screen. Just the picture, you know, the video. That's all I remember, but yeah, that's...
What did that leave you with?
Hard times. I mean, at the time, I didn't really know what was going on at all, you know. But, I mean, looking back, yeah, I mean, it's tragic. It's depressing. It's sad. You know, and what's going on now, nowadays, it's the same thing in different ways. Just tragedy. You know, all the shootings and... Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the, you know, what's your view? You know, it's a tough subject. School shootings.
Yeah.
School shootings and guns, or shooting up a Jewish synagogue, or shooting up anything. That's not foreign enemies. That's not the bad people, the boogeymen from other countries. That's just sort of, that's our own.
It's our people, yeah.
It's our people. What do you think?
I don't know, and that's a good question, because that's something that I've been, you know, wondering now that I'm older and I see all this stuff happening. And I don't know, and my question to myself is, okay, was it like this before? And no one really heard about it because we didn't have the media like we do nowadays? Is it that, or is it just because people are going crazy? I mean, I don't understand. I can't put my finger on what the root of the problem would be as far as why so many people are shooting other people. I mean, obviously it's a mental disorder. It has to be. I don't know, but it's sad. And my view is, I think that... that we should all have the right to carry or to own guns. But I think there's a better way to go about it. I mean, it's kind of like drugs. They're illegal. The illegal ones are illegal, but you're gonna get it either way. So the person who wants to go shoot up a Jewish synagogue, you know, if it were illegal, They're gonna find the weapon either way. I think if we were to take away the guns from the people who are responsible, we would be limited with how we can protect ourselves. But I mean, yeah, it's a tricky thing to try to fix. I mean, there's different ways to go about it. It's just which one's the best way, you know? It's sad. I think it does. I think it comes down to mental issues. You know?
Would you And we, you know, this kind of is definitely this is a conversation we didn't want for.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering about it. The idea you're taking but the idea that you just really have to do a certain thing to have a gun.
A like certain
you do a certain thing before you can drive a car.
Right.
And I'm talking about pretty simple things, which really exercises just a little bit of control. So it's responsible people.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. I mean,
and
I think...
things are so much pushing on ideas like that. Why does that... Those ideas get folded up, people push back and say,
I think it's the diversity. You're either on one end or you're on the other, you know? And it's hard for everyone to meet in the middle. Can you meet in the middle, you know? I don't know. I mean, I think that would be a great idea, yeah. Just a little bit more of a process... You know,
maybe
and
it all comes back to this whole thing about meeting in the middle. We just can't seem to meet in the middle.
See eye to eye. Yeah. Yeah. I think people get stubborn. And I think it's great to believe in something and to have some passion behind it, for sure. I mean, it's kind of goes back to that saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So, but there's a balance, you know? Have your beliefs and be passionate about it, but also have a little leeway to where you're still kind of open to different ideas and other perspectives, you know? And we have to remind ourselves we're all human beings. We're all faulty. So, you know, if you have the mindset of, well, what I think is right and I am right, you're wrong, then you're not going to get anywhere with that. So... I think there's a balance for sure with a lot of things, and I think we're just struggling with the imbalance of everything. So
that's quotable.
That's it for this episode of Dialogue from an American Mosaic. If you like this series, please subscribe and tell your friends.